Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
I was thinking different types of, I've said many times, different kinds of life. Right? Are you in this place? Thank God scientists made it easier for me because they said plants were living things. It could have been very hard for me to prove that plants are alive because they don't talk. Okay? But different types or kinds of life. Are you with me? You have the plant life. You know that, right? You have the animal life, like dogs. They live different, or the life they possess have different expressions. All right? Are you with me? So the plants grows. It's alive. Whatever has life grows. Okay? But if there is danger, it cannot run. It remains there. Okay? Wouldn't it be nice if it could run? No, it wouldn't be nice. So it just grows. That's one type of life. Then you have the animal kind of life. The dog also grows. From being a puppy, then it becomes a dog. Then it dies. All right? But then it grows. And it can stay in one place like the plant. But because it is a higher type of life, if something dangerous is coming its way, it will run. So just by movement, it differentiates itself from the plant. Are you in this place? But you know, the dog might not know. I might grow up all its life just standing in one spot. Because I noticed that the higher type of life can express exactly the same thing that the lower type of life expresses. Just there are some extras that are important. I listen to me. Plants have a life. Animals have a type of life. Human beings have a higher type of life. All right? So they grow. They can stand in one spot. They can move. They can create things to make life easier. So you see that the dog has all of the potentials of the plant plus extra. The human has all of the potential of the plant and the dog plus extra. Are we together? Here's the thing with that. That means that the human being can live his life with only the potential of the dog, if that's the only potential it expresses, even though there's extra. Are we together? The dog sees, sits down, can move. Human beings do that too, but there is more to the human life. Then there is the highest type of life. That is the God kind of life. God sees. Does he see? He talks. He sits down just like you. You need to be alive to do all of that. And he's using his life. Almost just like the human being, but there's an extra. But he can live all of his life just like human beings. Just doing what human beings can do. Even though there's an extra. Now, God doesn't do that. But as a Christian, you have received his life. When you got born again, the old life is not the life you possess. You possess a new life now. Are you in this place? You're looking at me right now, not by the human life, but by the divine life. Think about it. The only life in you, as you're sitting, is God sitting on the throne? He's seated. The same life, if we saw God on the throne, that enables him sit down, is the same life that you have that will enable you what? Sit down. But human beings just sit down for relaxation. God sits down and is in charge. That's the extra that his life has. So a human being can sit down just for resting. But God sits down and he's on his throne and he's in charge. That's the extra. Now, if that human being receives God's life, he can still be sitting down, but something has changed. But if he doesn't know it, he will live just like a human being. Because he can express his life just like human beings express their life. Are we together? So, the thing is, if you're living the higher type of life, you might not know it. Are you seeing it? You might not know there's an extra. Because everything every other person can do, the lower type of life, you can do too. And you might just remain in that level. So you have the guy who's born again, but he's still just like every other person. Are you seeing it? Just like every other person. Enters the bus like every other person. Sits down like every other person. But the one with the God kind of life sits down and he's in charge. But if there's an accident, if he doesn't know that extra, he will die just like every other person. Even though he had a life that had an extra that could have saved that bus. Are you in this place? Yeah. Could have saved the bus. So this life we have received, Jesus, remember something. Jesus said in John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish. So that's one of the big things about receiving eternal life or believing in him. You should not perish. So for every person who believes in him, perishing is no longer your story. Are you saying it? That is the promise of the gospel. Being destroyed is no longer part of your story. It is not possible anymore. It should not happen. That is the difference between the man who has believed and the man who has not. Remember something. Adam died, so death was the last bus stop. Jesus came out from death. There is no last bus stop anymore. Are we together? No last bus stop anymore. Okay. But you see, should not perish is not where his message ended. He said, and have what? Everlasting life. Eternal life. So the goal, the purpose of his coming was not just to save a man from perishing, but to give him a new life. And so that's John 3. Seven chapters later in John chapter 10, he just made it plain. He said, I am come that they might have life. And they might have it more what? Abundantly. He didn't mention perishing. Because perishing, saving them from perishing is not the goal. It is part of it, but it's not the goal. The goal is to give them a new life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To give them a new life. Okay. You got that right. Go to Ephesians. I am come that they might have life. And they might have it more abundantly. I will learn that word abundantly means extraordinary. He came to make the extraordinary life possible. Are you with me? Ephesians 3. Are you there? Ephesians 3. As I'm talking to you, I'm remembering when I was in 100 level. Ephesians 3. Just stay in 3. When I was in 100 level, and I just started getting serious with Christianity after the strike. And I remember my thoughts then, and I've maintained that thought throughout the years, because it was the right thing to think. Talking with my friends, just two of them, I said, if I am a child of God, something should be different about my life. That's what I told them. I believe that now even more strongly, with more knowledge. But just simply, I was thinking, if God gave birth to you, it should show. The things that happen to you, the things that you do, should be different from every other person. There should be something supernatural about your life. Simple thoughts, but true. A dog gives birth to what? A dog. And so the puppy has the limitations of his father. A man gives birth to a man. So the boy has the limitations of his father. God would give birth to a God. And there are no limitations with God. But the thing is, God and man superficially look so much alike. Do you know that? Because, after all, I told you before, spirit conference, it is man that looks like God. Not God looking like man. You know, are you in this place? Someone thinks, God came as a man. God came so humbly as a man. He could have come as something else, but he came as a man. What else could he have come as? He said, let us make man in our own image. So God looked at himself and made man. So before we saw man, if we were to see God, he would have two eyes just like man. He would have a nose and a mouth. So superficially, God and man seem so much alike. God sits, man sits. God talks, man talks. God thinks, man thinks. God loves, man loves. So similar. Right? So similar. But for the normal man, there is something that is needed. That life that he has. Are we together? Have you seen robots before? They look like people. At least they're getting them to be more sophisticated. All right? But they can't reason on their own. They don't have that life. So they sit like human beings sit. All right? They talk like human beings talk. And you know, with increasing advancement in technology, they'll get more human-like, but they will not have the life. But remember, the Bible says that the things that we see physically really explain spiritual realities. So man looks just like God. If he only had God's life, there would be no difference. Just like the robots, if it only had a human life, there would be no difference. He'll begin to think for himself, begin to do things for himself. Are we together? Look just like a human being. If he only had the human life, but he doesn't. So if man, who looks just like God, only had the human life, everything would change. And so God sent Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have his life. No wonder the Bible says on the last day that God has a record. Have you seen it in your Bible before? 1 John 5 verse 11. Let's go there. You're in Ephesians 3, right? But let me show you 1 John 5 verse 11. I've said it many times. There are people who think on the last day, God will say his own. Me, I will say my own. I'll tell him it's not easy. I just think that's their vocabulary. Anything, it's not easy. It's not easy. This Christian life is not easy. But we are pressing on. If you're pressing on in the Christian life, let me tell you something. You're in the wrong environment and you put yourself there. Are we together? You have the wrong friends. You're listening to the wrong things. That's why you think you are pressing on. There's nothing to press on about. We are the light. Light does not press on. If you're in dark, you can be pressing on just to know where you're going to. But if you turn on the light, all pressing on vanishes. And we are not looking for a light somewhere. We are the light. You are bigger than the world. So how can the world intimidate you? You have to know what you have or who you are. Are we together? I can't be in a room and all of my unbelievers and every time I go and cry, I say, I don't know, I'm just intimidated. Why? They all have BB. I don't have. And then I pray, they're laughing at me. I don't know. Me? Oh my God. No way. You see, as I'm in that room as the only believer, it will show. Because I have dominion. Are we together? No. If you have different kinds of people. Those that they are the only believer in their room or in their house. So when they are even going to the house or the room, the way they are entering, they don't want to disturb anybody. They don't want to disturb anybody. Even when they are praying, so. You think the devil is merciful? No. As the light of the world that I am, as I'm entering that room, I'm entering like the boss. As I'm praying well. I might not be loud. Are we together? But everything I do, I will do with confidence. Because I have the real thing, you don't. And there's nothing to be ashamed about. Are we together? Yeah. The real thing. 1 John 5 verse 11. He says, and this is the record. Oh, so there's a record. God has a record.
Have you noticed? You know why he has a record? So nobody will argue with him. Because he knows people. That was it. Jesus knew all men. And he didn't know that any man tells him what is a man. He knew what, so he knew people would argue that day. People had the opportunity to shout. Don't shout. So he has a record. Look at it.
And this is a record that God had given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. This is God washing his hand from any complaint anybody can ever have. If you say, it is not easy, God will say, if with my life it's not easy for you, do you think it's easy for me? But if it's easy for me, that means it's easy for you. That's the record. Let me tell you something. If you needed help, I can give you help. I can do something. But the best thing I can do for you is to give you my life. So anytime you need help, you don't need to wait for me anymore. You have what I have, and you can do what I can do. He says, this is God's record. On that last day, open it. If you want to complain, you say, you have my life. Are you saying it? You have my life. But I needed something. You didn't help me. He said, you have my life. Whatever help I would have given you, you have it already. Are you saying it? You have my life. It's like if, just to emphasize on this, if you wanted money from me and I gave you my ATM card, what have I done? And I give you my PIN. You don't have a right to complain anymore. Whatever money I would have given you if I was present is in that ATM card. So if you come and say, I couldn't pay my school fees, what do you want me to do? I gave you my ATM card. Are you seeing it? You say, I fasted for 3 days. What do you want me to do? I gave you my ATM card and the PIN. And I said, withdraw as much as you want. So what do you want? So in that last day, God is prepared. He's prepared. Anybody that comes and says, I was disadvantaged, what do you want him to do? He gave you his life. What more could he have given you? What more? Ephesians 3. Being a Christian is more than just going to church. You are a different person now. You are different. You know, a few years ago, there was a dear minister in Ephesians 3, John G. Lake. And one of the most popular things about him was his consciousness of God in a man. That was the most amazing things about John G. Lake. Came to South Africa, went to Washington, did a lot of things. But his consciousness of God in a man. And he used to experiment it because he liked medicine, just didn't study. So I remember then there was an outbreak in South Africa and this virus. And he went to the doctors and said, listen, God lives in me. He said, if you give me the virus, it will die. And so the doctors and all of them, they put their mask, put everything, and said, put it in my hand. And they put it in his hand. And they checked under the microscope. Nothing was there. Absolutely nothing. His consciousness of God in a man. It said, God lives in this man. When he dresses up, you say, God is in this man. Someone says, how dare you, human being, think you look like God? Because they don't know we were made in his image. The human being was made to look like God. Absolutely. Then the Christian now has the life of God. Not just that. He has the Spirit of God. Not just that. He's named with the name of God. So what else? What else? Think about it. What else? That means when you show up, God doesn't need to show up anymore. He has showed up in you. Let me show you. Ephesians 3. So you see what God's desire is. Verse 14. Are you there? He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is what? Named. What family is talking about? Our family. Are we together?
our spiritual family. Naturally, if you belong to the family, you should share their name. Right? We have a unique name. When you say in the name, you know, someone says, use the name of Jesus with measure. At least if you say pain, go in the name of Jesus. If pain comes again, rest small. Maybe tomorrow. No, it's your name. Are you saying it? It's your name. It is yours. Peter and John met that man at a gate called Beautiful. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name, that was what he had. He was conscious. I have a name. Are you saying it? I have a name. Look at this. It says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Remember, every time you have a different name. When you got born again, it's common sense. If when they give birth to you, naturally, they have to name you so they can identify you. Right? Physically. So you have a name that we can call you. Who did this thing? It is Nephi. We know the name. When you get born again spiritually, you need a name that you can be identified with in the realm of the spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we have a name that is higher. Higher. Glory to God. So it says, but if I have a name that is higher, in the realm of the spirit, they know my name. How come demons still come to oppress me? Didn't you hear their name, demons? They are rebellious spirits. People who are rebellious don't submit. Are we in this place? So don't think because you are all powerful, the devil. The idea, if I said everybody sit down, and there's a rebellious person in this place, that person will not sit down. Even if I say, I have a gun, sit down. If the person is rebellious, the person will stand up. It is something about rebellion. You cannot submit. Are we together? You cannot submit to authority. So because you have his name and you have his authority, doesn't mean the demon will all of a sudden leave you alone. No, he's rebellious. They can't submit. But you know something about rebellious people? You can put them in their place. And so Jesus said, cast out devils. Cast them out. Because they don't submit. Three, verse 14 again. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. Now, you know, people only pray about things they want. Are you in this place? Are you paying attention to me? People only, if I want to know what you really want, while you're praying, I should listen to you. Right? Because when you're praying, you're being sincere with God. It is what you want. Now, if God approves of your prayer, you let other people know. Paul prayed this prayer, and God thought it was so important we had to know. That means this is a spirit prayer for the church. This is what God wants. Are we together? Now, listen to the content of this prayer. He says that he would grant you a car. Is that what he says? That he will grant you long life. Is that what he said? Well, we all want long life. Right? What's the point of long life that is not purposeful? Just live long. That he will grant you a new job. Is that what he said? That he will grant you more money. Is that what he said? Come on, talk to me. Is that what he said? He says that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, wealth. Is that what he said? Because you see riches there. You should think the next thing should be money. He should grant you according to the riches of his glory, more riches. Is that what he said? Meaning these things, as important as they are not priority to God. Look at it. It says that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory,
to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. You look at this very well. It says to be strengthened with might. God wants you to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. How does that pay the rent? Because the rent is important. Are we together? How does that bring the money? How? How does that give me the car to be strengthened with might? Okay, so the word might there is from the Greek dunamis. It means miracle working ability. If I hear that, I have all that I need. He says he wants you to be strengthened with miracle working ability. If there's a problem somewhere, you have miracle working ability. That ability solves all the problems. Look at Jesus. He just finished teaching. And he said, you know what? We can't send people away like this. They're hungry. Let's give them something to eat. Someone says, how does being strengthened with might bring the food? Jesus is going to show you. Are you seeing it? They didn't have enough bread, but he had miracle working ability. He could walk a miracle. Are you seeing it? He could. God wants you to be someone that can walk a miracle. He says he wants you to be strengthened with miracle working ability. This is way beyond what you're used to. Because normally the miracle is with God. Are you seeing it? It is God that has miracle. We will just wait. No. God wants you to be this man that when you come in, the miracle can happen. Just like Jesus. He says strengthened. You know what that means? It means there's no doubt inside. You know. Strengthened, that means you know. You're conscious. You have miracle working ability. They say the boy is sick. He has fever. You come in. You know. You have miracle working ability. They say the guy needs a job. For this one to get a job with his grade, he needs a miracle. You know. You have miracle working ability. That means you are now sufficient. Are you saying it? He wants you to be strengthened. He wants you to know. When you enter the bus, when you're brushing your teeth, when you wake up from sleep, be conscious you have ability. Miracle working ability. Jesus was so conscious of this. It was his normal. Are you saying it? It was his normal. It was his normal. He had 5 loaves. He thought it's okay. 5 loaves. He had miracle working ability. He went to Jairus' house. His daughter was dead. Was he perturbed? No. He had miracle working ability. No more praying, God, give me ability. No, you have it already. He says he wants you to be strengthened. He didn't say he's praying that you would have. No, you have it already. But he wants you to be strengthened. Let me give you an example. Are you with me? If you eat beans, right? Some of you, your stomach right now, so flat, so soft. If you blow breeze, go, some empty, no food, all right? Now, you can strengthen that stomach so much that we'll all see it. If you eat plenty eba, right? 8 wraps. I saw something funny. A guy said he went to order amala, 8 wraps of amala. And the person saying it was looking at him strange. He said, do you know me? Do you know my story? All right. But when you take 1 wrap of amala, your stomach will still be soft, right? But to strengthen it is to increase the food inside until it begins to bulge out of your stomach. So it's so strong. All right. Now, you have that miracle working ability. God wants you to be so conscious of it that it grows until all of you is diffusing that ability. That is his desire. He didn't ask for a car. Because with miracle working ability, you can get a car. You can. Jesus, how did he get his car? How many of you know? How did Jesus get his car?
How did he get his car?
Back then, they didn't have cars. They had donkeys. Right?
Sent 12 disciples. Said, go there. You see a donkey tied. Bring it. A new one. He said, no man had ever ride on it before. This is church car. He said, bring it. Listen.
You have to have some ability to say that. You know when I say liver? You need to have liver to say that.
He could, because he had miracle working ability. He said, if they ask you, what are you doing? Tell them the Lord needs it. The Lord. You know what Lord means? The chief, the owner, the king. That's a man talking with ability. Tell them the Lord needs it, and they'll give it to you. Imagine if you were those two disciples going, and then you really see the donkeys. Are you sure this is the one? Say yes, this is the one. And while you're losing it, they couldn't doubt. This was a man who raised Lazarus from the dead. Listen, oh, this is someone that spoke, and death had no hold on a person. No human being is greater than death. Because the Bible says death reigns, except the Christian. And death took a hold, the one who is king, are we together? As at that time, took a hold of a man. And Jesus called the man out without even taking permission from death. They knew this guy is really Lord. And if he sends us to go and take donkey, who is that person that will stop us? And true enough, sure enough, because the devil is what? A rebel. Sure enough, people ask, hey, what are you doing there? The Lord needs it. Take it. No, he wasn't walking around with rope. You know, they didn't have car keys, so rope. He didn't need to walk around with rope. When he needs the car, it will show. A brand new one. He was the one who started this hire service because he returned it. That is what God wants you to have and to be conscious of. Be conscious of. It says, be strengthened with miracle-working ability. For you to think that way, you should first of all recognize that you are not ordinary. While others are waiting for a miracle, you have the ability inside. It's inside. Bring it out. Are you seeing it? That's what, bring it out. I'm studying Jesus, and I'm realizing that he didn't take permission from God to do anything. He just brought it out. Are you seeing it? He was going somewhere, passing this town of Nain, and then he saw a boy or a man were about to bury him, and his mom was there, and he knew the woman was a widow, and everybody was crying. He didn't say, hold on, let me ask the father, let me just show. Father, I'm going somewhere, but should I stop? Has he answered? No, we are waiting. Father, they're putting me inside the grave. Should I stop? No! He knew he had the ability. He went to the guy. Went to the, said, stop. Touched the coffin. Said, young man, I say unto you, arise. With his words, he released the ability. And the Bible says the man got up and started talking. Everywhere he went, he was conscious, I have something that can help. Oh, praise the Lord. He was conscious. Listen, he was conscious, I have something that can help. Are you seeing it? Because miracle working ability is not for destruction. No, I have something that can help. If I was going somewhere, can I help you? They said, no, this one is spiritual. Ah, the miracle working ability I have is spiritual. It can help. One day he was going in Jerusalem. The Bible says he went to the market and he saw a man who could not walk in John 5. And he said to the man, do you want to be healed? He was walking. Are you seeing it? He was going somewhere. But he was conscious, I have something that can help. He said, do you want to be healed? The man said, actually I want to, but when the water is turning, nobody helps me. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and go home. Without fear. And the man did what? He got up, took up his bed. He was conscious. He had miracle working ability. He was conscious. in John, the Bible tells us in chapter 2, went to a wedding. Because, you know, this ability is in you everywhere. Not just in church. Not just in a prayer meeting. He went to a wedding. And then they ran out of wine. It was not his wedding. It was not the wedding of his relative, his brother. He just went there as a guest. And he was okay. He was okay. He did not ask for wine. He's not the one who complained that there's no wine in this wedding. And then his mom comes from nowhere, knowing who he is, and said, they've run out of wine. She was conscious he had miracle working ability. She didn't tell him, Aspa, go and buy wine. No. She just told him they've run out of wine. He said, man, what is my business with you? Why? Because people say, oh, Jesus was just rude. No. Understand the scenario. When he raised the boy from the dead, the guy they were going to bury in Luke 7, the anointing was meeting an important need. Okay? And he used that for important things. What is his business with wine? It's not like the wine will raise the dead. No, it's for them to party and be happy. And now his mom, knowing mothers will not change. She knew she had a son that can do something. So he said, run away. He said, hold on. Let me go and meet somebody. Does he supply wine? You will see. She went to meet him. So, woman, what have I had to do with you? But you see, something else I've been realizing about God. When you use your faith, he can't say no. She didn't even argue with him. Imagine that. She didn't say, you're my son. Do what I said. She just left him. So whatever he tells you to do, do it. And she left. She didn't stand to wait. And they went to meet him, all of them. Now, what can he do but work a miracle? He was conscious he could do something. The issue was not that he could not do something. He could do something. It was that he was not expecting to do anything. He said, all right, take the dirty water. That which is thrown away, he made something new out of it. It is that same ability that you have. That same ability that you have. That same ability. That which is old, you can speak and becomes new. That same ability. God wants you to know it. Don't you think it's tired of people acting as though, Christians acting as though they are human beings? You start wondering, so what is the salvation about? No, he wants you to know there is something inside of you that can help. Are we together? That can help. Let me show you something, one last thing before we go. See, same Ephesians 3. It says that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with miracle-working ability by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that is great, but that's not where I'm going to. Verse 20. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Listen. Firstly, when I see this, I'm happy because of the content, but it's almost like he's taking the responsibility back to God. Are you saying it? But let's focus on what he's saying God can do. He's saying he can do exceeding, abundantly, above all that you can ask. So what is that thing you can ask? Whatever, as long as you can ask it, God can do way beyond it. What is that thing that you can think? You say, I'm just thinking it. My mouth cannot say it because it's very big. God can do beyond it. And that is great news. But that is not where the verse stops. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where in you. That's why he wants you to be strengthened with miracle working ability. What he's trying to tell you in this 3 verse 20 is not just what God can do.
is what the ability you have in you can do. That means that if you're thinking of something, you're thinking of this thing, you want this thing. He's saying you have ability, so much so that what you think about, if you bring forth that ability, you would have much more than what you can think or ask. He says, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, let's stop here first. That means there is power at work in me. And some of our power, it can increase. Right? It can increase. There is power at work in me. God wants that power to increase. That's why he says strengthened. Are you seeing it? He wants that ability to increase. He wants your life to be beyond your dreams. Are you seeing it? Beyond your dreams. And I'm talking about the supernatural life. Not the physical life. The supernatural life. That life that if the economy changes, let's say this is where there are two sides of the economy. This is where everything is going well. And then the economy changes and now it's going down. As it's going down, you're already on this side. Supernatural ability. He says he wants you to be conscious of it. He said, tell someone, I have something inside. That can change things. That can change situations. Power to cause a change. Hey, dear Lord. You know what I'm thinking? Jesus just finished preaching in the synagogue and he cast out the demons from a man who interrupted him. And then he went back to the house, Simon's house. All right? And they told him, now Simon's mom was sick with a high fever. It was not small malaria, it was serious. But once Jesus entered the house, they knew the change had come. Are you seeing it? They knew the solution had come. They knew if they did not have hope before, hope had come. What was it about Jesus that made him give hope to others? He had ability. Are we together? He had a different kind of life. But Jesus is not here anymore. But you are here. Are you seeing it? You are here. There is no time they told Jesus, we have a problem, and he said, and you came to me, what do you expect me to do? No. He was always conscious he could do something. Always conscious. Someone says, but if you wake up from sleep, you have to get yourself, not Jesus. They woke him up from sleep. About to have an accident, he was conscious he could do something. Every time, conscious, he had something in him. Now I'm conscious I have something in me. Miracle working ability. So if it's true that you have miracle working ability in you, sickness cannot stay inside of you. Impossible. The ability in you will quench it. Impossible. You are the one to heal the sick. That's what Jesus said. Say, in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Let me stop with this. But listen to the logic. This same Jesus was one who said that the blind cannot lead the blind. They will both fall into the ditch. In that, he was saying that if you're a leader, there must be something different about you. Are we together? Great. Now, if he said we would lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Jesus said, for the Christians, they shall lay hands on the sick. Oh, so they are not the sick. They will never be the sick. He has already named who the sick are, but not the believer. Are you seeing it? That is the difference. He just did it. Just by saying it, he created an everlasting difference. Everlasting difference. The Christian lays hands on the sick, but he's not the sick. He's the one laying hands. Why? Because he has the ability to heal the sick. And that sickness cannot touch him. Different from the world. He says God is able to do according to the power. And then someone says, so I've heard all these things. It's all nice. How do I not strengthen this ability, please? Because I know I have it, but I want it to be strengthened, right? I mean, how do I not strengthen it? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. You know what edify means? He strengthens himself. That power inside, he begins to make it wax great. Riba kosa kabaya, remo kosu kabra kesete, riba kaso ko barada, rema kosu ka, riba rabo kosu kabaya, rebo sandarabaya. Amen. 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 Listen, Jesus was a man of prayer, was always praying. But I'm thinking about Peter. One day they told him, Dorcas, that's the name, Tabitha, right, was dead. And she's a nice woman. She's a Christian. But she was dead. And they found out Peter was around. So they went to drag him. Peter was not expected to raise anybody from the dead. Are we together? But he knew he had miracle working ability. Because when I said, such as I have, give I thee. So that ability at that time raised a man that was lame, made him walk, but had not yet raised the dead. And so they brought him to Dorcas's room. And when he saw her, he had ability, but he needed it to be strengthened. The Bible says Peter went to pray. Are you saying it? He went to pray. He had to increase that thing. You know, someone who is lame, you can lift him up with some strength. Someone who is dead, you need more strength to lift him up. Are we together? That was a bigger challenge. So he took out time to pray. After he was done praying, he had gotten it. Are we together? He knew he had increased this thing. He went to the woman and said, woman, get up. And the Bible says she got up. At times you need something. That's why you see that at times when people pray, miracles happen. It's not because they are praying to a powerful God. No. They are strengthening something. Are you saying it? Strengthening something. I told you guys about R.W. Schambach and that woman whose son was about to be electrocuted. For some of you, I sent you the link where he was saying it. I said it twice. And the woman came and said, he's innocent. My boy is innocent. And how many minutes left? 30 minutes. In 30 minutes, they had already sentenced this man to be electrocuted. R.W. Schambach said, I didn't know what to do. But listen, when you have to, he knew he had ability. I want to link two things together. And so you strengthen that ability. Okay? But this is what the Bible said to make it simple for us. It said, for we know not what to pray for as we should. Alright? As we ought. It says, but the Spirit helpeth our limitations. No. But it's the way he ministered to that woman I want to show you. He said, once she said it, he started speaking in tongues. He started speaking in tongues. What's that thing? He says, God is able to do above all that you can ask or think. Are we together? And she had asked that her son be saved from the electric chair. So he started speaking in tongues, increasing that ability. He says, as he spoke in tongues, he thought this tongue is so good. He wants to hear what he's saying. And then he brought out from his mouth. How did Jesus release miracle-working ability? By saying it. He said, go and get him. That was enough power. The next morning, he checks the newspaper. Man saved from electric chair. He didn't beg God. The power was inside. So when you speak in tongues, the Bible says you edify. You build on it. You build on it. How? Jesus said, ye shall receive power. So the Christian has power. Yes. Normal English, the Christian is powerful. Yes. He is full of power. But some can be more powerful than some others. But if I found out I am less powerful than someone else, it's not for me to cry. I can speak in tongues too. Are you saying it? I can speak in tongues too. He that speaketh in an own tongue edifieth himself. As I speak in tongues, I enter that room, I know I can cause a change. Because the power is there. I'm conscious. God's desires are your strength and with might. Ribaka sekeredos. Rabaka suka barades. Ramaka suka brakeza rabababababa. Reboko suka braka sikedo shakabaya. Ramaka sekere mondo roboko suka barades.